Good afternoon. Welcome into State of the Tigers, coming to you at a little bit of a different time because, well, it's the offseason and we come to you whenever we feel like doing it every week. Gabe DeArmond here, Jerod Hamilton going to join us from Detroit in just a moment. But before we get to Jerod and a little NFL draft talk this week, going to remind you to get in touch with our guy, James Carlton, State Farm Insurance. James will be tuned in on Thursday night, finding out where the Missouri Tigers go. And then on Friday, he wants to talk to you, or really before then, call him today, call him tomorrow, whatever. Call James at 314-961-4800. Get in touch with him at carltoninsurance.net. He's going to take care of your insurance needs, get you the best deal he can possibly get you on any kinds of insurance you need. James has been with us for a couple of years, already signed on through all of next year to continue bringing this wonderful, knowledge-filled show to you. And we take it on the road, Jerod Hamilton, in a, I don't know, is it a Hampton Inn? What did we book for this trip somewhere outside of Detroit?
Hilton Inn. Nice little Hilton Inn.
Okay, there you go. So Jerod in a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, got in earlier today. That is where the NFL draft will take place on Thursday night and Friday and Saturday. And it's kind of a never-ending thing these days. We're going to talk Mizzou stuff, prospects for the draft, all that. First off, Jerod, just give everybody kind of an idea of the draft is until Thursday night, but what your week's like and what I know the draft stuff starts, I think, either tonight or tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so after this, maybe about an hour or so after this, I'll be going to Darius Robinson's mom's house. So I'll be chatting up with Miss Robinson, and I believe his grandmother will be there, and I'll be talking to them and just trying to kind of get a lay of the land on what D-Rob was like growing up, you know, what this process has been like for those for them. And then tomorrow, somewhere around mid-afternoon, maybe 2 or 3 Eastern, I should be able to talk to Darius himself and kind of see where his head's at going into, like, the biggest day of his life, basically, at least week, yeah. you know, Thursday and Friday. So be talking to them. There's something in the morning. I can't remember. You know, they've got plenty of draft events throughout the week that are keeping him busy. That's why I won't be talking with him tonight. But, yeah, I'll be – everywhere, probably. This is the only time I'll be at the hotel. It feels like I'm going to be all around the Detroit area the next few days.
Yeah. Did you get any sense? I mean, you flew in this morning. Did you get any sense of, are there already, you know, are you seeing stuff around for the draft? Were there people coming in, or was it just kind of a normal day at an airport?
Ironically, when I flew out of St. Louis, St. Louis airport was packed. I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the airport in Detroit, when I got there, no, it wasn't. I mean, there was like a shop that had a couple of, like, you know, NFL draft gear, but there was nothing too big that said the draft is here. Now, again, where the hotel is, it's outside the city. So, you know, I wasn't right, you know, downtown or nothing. So maybe I'll know a little bit more tomorrow.
Yeah, this is always like one of my favorite weeks of the year. I mean, because I'm a dork. I sat around in college and watched the draft on TV, but also just because of what you're talking about with Darius, like, this is 256 kids who have dreamed about this week since they were like 6 years old. Right. And whether it's, you know, Caleb Williams or whoever the next Brock Purdy might be, like, there's going to be 256 kids who get their names called and, like, potentially their lives change and their families' lives change for generations to come based on what happens on a football field. Like, it's interesting who goes where and all that, but just kind of the emotional part of draft week is the cool thing to me.
Yeah. It's it's funny because – Some of this is great. Like, all the stories are usually great. Some of them, I feel like it can be a little too, I don't know, not sad, but it's just like,
They could have been another angle for the emotional stuff on ESPN. No question.
Yeah, yeah. Some of its stuff is just like, I know life is hard, but I'm sure some of these guys have something positive besides, you know, all this stuff. But yeah, it's cool to see these guys kind of, for a lot of them, in a matter of days, their life is going from amateur to professional, you know, from, you know, college kids and stuff like that to you're of the 1% of the world and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool to see.
Well, I mean, and hey, they've had a year or two of practice. Now they're getting paid in college. They've been pros for a couple of years now at this point. But so look, I don't think I mean a year ago, I remember whenever Darius Robinson decided to come back, I think it was Blake Baker actually told us, hey, he could have been like a second, third, fourth round guy, but we told him, if you come back, you can go in the first round. I honestly, when he said that, I said, yeah, that's a nice thing to say. I think you wanted him back because he makes your team better. I didn't see it happening. Now I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen, but it certainly could happen on Thursday night.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like you when it comes to the draft. I'm a nerd for it. I do the mock drafts. I've been putting a little bit of what I've been reading. I just put out a preview this morning about what some other draft analysts have. And for like the past month, maybe month and a half, D-Rob is usually, when I do my own mock drafts, he's usually somewhere from 26 all the way. I think the lowest I've seen is probably 45. He's always in that range, whether I'm doing it or I'm looking at someone else do it. And so, yeah, a year ago, I do remember Blake kind of saying something along those lines of like, come back and, you know, we'll help you out. And Darius told us, you know, March of last year that he had a third to fifth round grade. And he was just kind of like, I think he was getting feelers out, you know, trying to see what draft teams were, you know, saying about him or whatever. And I just remember him telling me sometime, and he said this on a podcast when he was with us a few months earlier, but he had told me kind of right after it happened during one of the high school camps, like I was talking to one scout and they were kind of like surprised when I said I was going to enter the draft, like, really? And so I think that was kind of the thing for him where he was just like, okay, maybe that and some other factors is why he decided to return to Mizzou.
Well, and he's in – it's really kind of, I mean, look, it's a great position because he's going to be one of the first 50 players taken without question. But like materially, there is almost no difference whether he is the 32nd player picked or the 33rd player picked. But man, there's a huge difference. I'm sure Thursday is going to be a whole lot of nerves for that kid.
Well, that I will kind of back on that bit. That fifth year option, usually depending, I know that has something to do with like position value or something like that, but that's a nice chunk of money, like a big upgrade in if you get your fifth grade or fifth year option picked up. But for the most part, what you're saying, those first 4 years, you know, 32nd and 33. So it's not only about, dang, do I get to call myself a first rounder though, but in the off chance that it is a second rounder, think about it like this. Let's say a team, you know, a good team trades back. Maybe a better situation, you know, I know of course the great story would be he gets selected in the first round, you know, in his hometown, but what if he finds a better situation by, you know, falling back a couple spots and getting a team that fits him and may let him play sooner? I mean.
But the thing is that rain.
Oh, hello.
He's going to go to a pretty good football team, right? Whether that is, you know, I've seen Detroit at 29. I've seen a little bit of maybe Kansas City at 32. I can't are in that range, but like most people have him going like 26. If you go 26 to 32, you're on one of the teams that was playing, you know, divisional round playoff last year. Like, yeah, everybody wants to go four. Or everybody wants to go one, but like Caleb Williams is going to a bad football team next year, and he's probably not going to be able to fix it by himself. If Darius goes in the range we're talking about, like he's got legitimate, hey, I can be playing for a playoff football team next year.
Absolutely. Except there is one team that has managed to trade and is in that back five, six slots, and that's Arizona at 27. So Arizona, okay. They traded with Houston and they got that pick. But again, I feel like if I was a person who was about to get drafted, every situation seems like a win. Because you go to a bad team, you're more likely to play. You go to a good team, you don't have as much pressure to play, if that makes sense.
Agreed. And, you know, we've seen a lot of guys in that situation where you come in and, hey, he's going to be a rotational guy, right? But, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't mean to keep using Chiefs examples, but they're the only ones I know. Like, the Chiefs take Felix out of K-State at 32 last year. Played a little bit. They ended up making one huge play in the playoffs. But, you know, obviously everybody wants to play a little more than he did, but – you know, there's worse things than not being asked to be a difference maker in year one.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in a sweet spot for where he is and where people project him to be. Like, I can't see him going even 45. I feel like is haven't really seen. I've only seen that once. It's usually early day two, a little bit of day one, or I mean, a little bit of him being at the end of day one.
Yeah. Hey, quick little breaking news on the podcast. Missouri guard forward Caleb Brown has entered the transfer portal. He's the fifth Missouri player to do it. He wasn't on scholarship, but he was on the roster last year. He was hurt. Entered the portal last year, ended up coming back. So just want to get that in, get back to football talk now. All right, so let's kind of finish up with D-Rob. And again, Gerard's talking to his family. He's talking to Darius. Like, the reason for this trip is, hey, we might see a Mizzou player get drafted first round, but he's going to have a story Thursday. He's going to have another story after the weekends, all that. And we'll keep you up to date on all the Mizzou stuff. But what do you think the best story for Darius Robinson? I mean, obviously the best story for Darius Robinson involves going Thursday night. Like, to me, there's no contest, man. Detroit kid gets drafted by Detroit in Detroit and then lines up opposite Aiden Hutchinson. That'd be all right.
Opposite Aiden Hutchinson, if they want to move him inside and play him next to Aleem McNeil. I mean, there's that. Yeah, that would be probably the optimal situation. I can't think of another situation that just lines up like that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Chiefs would be kind of cool because he seems to be an adopted Missouri guy. But it's different. Like, that's not home, man. I feel like Detroit would be optimal. So at this point, I think he's the only one that's got a chance to go Thursday night, right? We've moved past Dennis Rakestraw round one, I think, haven't we?
Yes, I'm still seeing. I don't think it was in the. I don't feel like it was in my preview, and I got it right here. I don't feel like it was in my preview from yesterday that anybody picked him in the first round, but I have NFL Network on, and I've still seen him go with, I think it was 26 to the Bucks. That's as high as I've seen him go recently. So there's still some people who think he can. I just know it's a lot of injury concerns, and Ennis kind of told us that after Pro Day, that teams have told him, like, you know, you're fine. You've done more than enough. Tape speaks for itself. At the same time, though, even though they can be telling him that, a person that really doesn't have any injury issues, they may be able to, I guess, leap over him stock-wise. Mm-hmm. And that's not because anything Ennis does. I'm sure they mean what they say, or some of them mean what they say when they tell him, don't worry about it. But, you know, it's still something that they have to process and think about, though, when they think about him. But Ennis, I've seen him early to mid of round two, like middle of round two. Yeah. So that 40 to 53, 54 range is about it.
Yeah, I have seen a couple mocks that actually still have Ennis being the first Missouri player taken. I still think that'll be Darius Robinson. And not just, yeah, it's injuries. And maybe the injuries were limited him at the combine and pro day. But I felt like because of the injuries, he needed to have good workouts. And, like, they were okay.
Yeah. He showed a lot of grit and toughness, and that I feel like that's probably an underrated characteristic because that's not something you can necessarily measure or say, like, you know, this is what this guy has. So we'll see. It just depends on situation for him, though. But I couldn't see him falling out of the second round, though. Unless,
yeah,
they just get something we don't know about yet as far as injuries.
Any chance you think there's a different Missouri player that's second off the board? Like, is somebody taken before Ennis?
KAD would is if I ranked it would be Darius, Ennis, KAD. And KAD, though, is usually in the third or fourth round. At maybe a month ago, he probably was higher in the third round, like 70s range. The preview I put out yesterday, just specifically Brugler and Reuter, they had him, was it 99 and 105? So that's in the third, yeah, something like that. Early fourth round type of guy. KAD, like, good man corner. He plays multiple coverages. I think the biggest thing for him is just his frame. Like, that's every time I read something, it's just like he's a kind of a slender guy, but everybody seems to like his technique and his ball skills and stuff like that. It's just his size.
Yeah. I think if there's a guy who could surprise, let's say in his slides just a little bit, if there's a Missouri guy who could jump up there and be the second guy off the board, I think it's Javon Foster. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't expect it. I'm just saying if that's the scenario we're talking about, I could see somebody maybe taking Foster late second if Ennis slides a little bit and Foster being the second guy off the board. I wouldn't count on it, but he seems the only guy that I think it'd be reasonable to think that might happen.
That makes sense. And when I've looked at Foster and his accolades and what he's done and his PFF numbers, you think that, but this is where – I realize I am not a draft analyst. Yes. And I'm not in the league because the mock drafts I've seen since I started doing them a couple months ago, he's never been higher than a fifth round pick. So he's yesterday when I did it, both guys had him going 122 to the Bears. So his stock has risen considerably, but I don't know if it's risen to maybe, you know, second round levels quite yet.
Well, and Javon, like, and look, this kind of goes to what you're saying about not being a draft analyst. I'm not a scout. I don't watch a lot of – mostly if I notice an offensive lineman during a game, that means he did something probably pretty bad, right? Because I watch the ball. I don't sit there and watch the line.
Right.
But, like, he's a guy that just consistently over the last couple years, like, I don't know. I thought a year and a half ago, I thought, yeah, he's a nice player. And then all of a sudden, just more and more people started talking about him and, you know, became an all-SEC guy and an NFL draft pick. And, hey, these people that are doing this all know way more about it than I do. So I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying that, like, 2 years ago, I don't think I'd have forecast this.
Yeah, and I think another thing that goes against Javon is this is a pretty decent tackle class. They're be like, maybe
talking about nine in the first round, maybe.
Like, yeah, there's a good amount. I can't name them all, but I know there's at least three or four that may get into like the top 15, 16 picks. Mm-hmm. So obviously teams take those guys in the first round and then a couple that fall in the second round. It's not really a need to make reaches at the specific position. But I think Javon will be a good player in the league. And if he gets the same seasoning he had at Missouri, where he kind of gets to sit and maybe be that swing tackle or something like that, he possibly can step into that role where, all right, we need you to step in and be a left tackle or maybe a right tackle or whatever the case may be as a starter.
Be kind of interesting. If he does go to the Bears, he might be competing for a job with former Missouri player Larry Borum. Like, it almost might be a, hey, if one guy makes it, the other guy maybe in a little bit of trouble. So, all right, Tyron Hopper, like, mock drafts, I think your thing had him fourth, fifth round. Like, he's getting picked, but he's not getting picked in a position where it's like he's guaranteed to make a roster.
Yeah. I feel like similar to Ennis, he didn't have the combine and the pro day numbers and stuff. Like, I don't think he did too much at the combine. I don't remember.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't feel like he did too much. I don't remember much of pro day. The preview had him fifth round, sixth round. He was higher than that. He used to be around for like late fourth to fifth round. So that's kind of went down a little bit. I don't know what's going on. So for a guy like him, anybody in that fifth round or lower, you're probably going to have to show that you can be that special teams guy. That's where you're going to have to, you know, get your chops in. And I think that's the same thing for Cody Schrader, who think he was also mocked as a fifth round pick. And everybody knows by Cody's story now, he's going to give 150%.
Right.
So he should be all right.
So I think those six guys were fairly comfortable. Like, dude, what kind of odds would I have had to given you 12 months ago? Hey, Cody Schrader is almost guaranteed to be drafted in the NFL.
I mean, you could have gave me some decent odds and I still would be like,
yeah,
because 745 for 9 touchdowns. And even though he ended the year, I think the 2022 season, he had like most starts. Yeah, maybe 8 or 9 starts. We kind of knew he was going to be the starting running back going into 2023, but it still felt like they kept saying, well, you know, we're going to share the load. That's what I felt like they kept saying around, you know, around spring ball. And then, you know, he had the season he had and he went from probably not making the roster to, well, he's going to get drafted and in some way he becomes a UDFA. He'll definitely be a priority UDFA.
Yeah. So the one that seems to be on the fence is Jalen Carlisle. I've seen him mocked as high as like the fifth round. I've seen him, you know, not picked at all. I think it's all about what a team thinks he can be. I mean, ultimately, linebacker, safety, whatever it is, that kid's absolutely going to have to be a special teams dude to make a team, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the opposite way that Rakestraw and Hopper a little bit for their, I guess, combine pro day numbers, they had better tape than their numbers showed. I feel like Carlisle is a little bit in reverse. I think he had a better season than he had in 22, but tape maybe not saying, guys, he should be drafted such and such place. But that running at 4.5 at the combine and being able to show that you go from safety to linebacker and his willingness to do that, that'll definitely get him in there. He's one of those. He's definitely a flyer guy. I feel like maybe like a playoff team that maybe doesn't have too many holes. It's just like, yeah, we can add this versatile player, see what he does on special teams for us if they're going to draft him. But another guy that at this point probably maybe a UDFA, but priority UDFA. I don't think he'll be waiting too long if he is.
Yeah. He guys in his situation are almost not like we're talking about, you know, Robinson and Rakestraw. It might be great to go to a place where, hey, you don't have to be put into the starting lineup right away. Cause like those are guaranteed first rounds, guaranteed contract, second rounder, he's going to make the team, all that. So, you know, you can afford to maybe be behind a guy. If I'm a guy that's getting picked in the fifth round, dude, I want to go to a crap team that has nobody any good at my position. I want every possible chance I can to get on the football field.
No, that's absolutely. And something else, fifth round, I'd feel like for you, what point in the draft do you start saying, or if you're that guy who's on the fence of being drafted in the UDFA, what point do you say, I almost don't want to be drafted? I know it's like cool, but if you could pick your situation, staying power.
People say that. I get it. I still tend to think, look, if you're drafted, that means that team picked you. That team has some sort of stock put. Like it's like the baseball player who gets books paid for versus a walk-on. Like, hey, it might only be books, but it's still $500 a semester that they didn't invest in that other kid. They've got something invested in you. But even if there is a point, I don't think that point hits till like mid sixth round.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually probably a little bit earlier to me. I was probably saying like late sixth, about to turn into the seventh. I start thinking like, yeah. I don't know. That's going to be the deal for Harrison Meavis. I feel like.
Yeah. I'd still want to be drafted though. And here's why, because let's be honest, man, seventh round, like you're talking probably at best a 50-50 chance you make the team. And it's probably worse than that, right? I would guess less than half of the seventh round picks will stick. Well, undrafted free agents probably aren't sticking either. But at least, hey, if I was a seventh round draft pick, even if I don't make the team, 20 years down the road, I could tell my kids I was drafted in the NFL. I heard my name called in the NFL draft by the assistant deputy traveling secretary or whatever.
No, I hear that. My thing is, if 20 years down the road, I get drafted by a team that I know is just taking a flyer just to take a flyer, and I'm thinking, ah, man, for I'm just gonna throw out a team, the Panthers. They, I know their team is bad, and I feel like they don't got nobody at my position. Would it have been better if I just ended up doing that and signing as a UDFA, knowing I had a chance to make the team, as opposed to saying, oh, well, I was drafted? Because if you get drafted and you don't make the team or nothing happens.
That's why those preseason games matter, though, like that I refuse to watch. Like,
you mean all two of them? They're going to cut them away. They're going to be gone soon.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll watch the first drive, and then I'm like, yeah, I never heard of any of these dudes. Well, that's what the 375 scouts are doing, watching the Chiefs and the Vikings six stringers playing, to find out if there's anybody they can pick up. We got a quick super chat here. We already talking. You guys are amazing, man. We're already talking to 2025 NFL draft. Jared, I appreciate it. We will get back to it. I promise we'll answer it by the end of the show. I'd have to sit and think about it.
Yeah, I got to think.
I don't want to answer.
Who is draftable?
I mean, the first guy off the board is going to be Luther. We know that.
But that's why his question is this. So I'm trying to think of after that.
I think we're probably talking Johnny Walker, Theo Weiss. One of these transfer running backs comes in and plays well.
Well, would Mimbo, that'd be his third season.
Mimbo would be draft eligible.
Yeah.
But like interior offensive lineman, I mean, hey, they, you know what? And here's the other thing. Second player drafted might not be on the roster right now. What if they pick up a transfer, you know? So that's all there. We'll talk about that next wave here in a minute, but just like, look, I'll watch the entire first round. I'll watch some of day two and day three, like non-Mizzou storylines. What are you looking forward to NFL draft wise?
What teams, what quarterback is going number three?
So who are we assuming is going number two?
Jaden Daniels to the Commanders.
Jaden Daniels over Drake May at two, for sure.
That's what I'm thinking. I wonder if that third team, so I think it's New England, do they trade back with a team like Minnesota, who's got two first-rounders? Do they trade back and get those first-rounders, even though they desperately need a quarterback? I was also talking to some friends in my group chat. They asked me about J.J. McCarthy and what I think of him. He's that guy that every year it feels like, how do I put this? It feels like,
here's how you put it. He's going to get somebody fired when he gets picked in the top 10.
See him and possibly Drake May, but I can see why people say Drake May, because I see the Justin Herbert. I can see it. Mm-hmm. Besides him wearing number 10, you can see that guy. McCarthy, you just start thinking like, I don't know how in September he was like, oh, he's a fourth round guy. All of a sudden he has a great team. And I mean, he did his part in it, but I don't know how he got from he's a mid round guy to, well, he may be selected top 11. I don't know.
Right. Like he was on a good team that won the national title based on almost nothing he did.
You know what this feels like? When the Bears made the Super Bowl in 2006 behind Rex Grossman.
There you go. There you go.
Grossman, yeah. There we go.
So it's interesting. Like we're talking about McCarthy might get somebody fired. If I'm picking number two, I would take Drake May over Jaden Daniels. Because like Jaden Daniels takes so many hits. I'm just like, And also, like, look at who Jaden Daniels was throwing to two first-round wide receivers. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But, like, he had superstars on both sides of that football field that he was throwing the ball to.
Yeah, but, I mean, so
– I know the same thing was said about C.J. Stroud last year, but I'm just saying, like – a big part of Jaden Daniels being an elite college football player is his mobility and his running. that doesn't happen to this level at in the NFL. Like, yeah, it can help, but you ain't going to go out there and run for 1,000 yards unless he's Michael Vick, and I don't think he's Michael Vick.
My thing is about after Caleb Williams, I feel like the next tier of quarterbacks is like it's a significant little step downwards.
If they played any other position, we would not be talking about them going 2 and 3.
Say one time.
If they played any other position, nobody would be talking about them being the second and third guys off the board.
Yeah. And so that's the thing about quarterbacks, like that need to, oh, I need to get a franchise QB. It kind of inflates the stock. So I don't know. I just looked up a comparison. So Drake May, we just talked about him being like Justin Herbert. Someone said, you know, he may be a better Sam Howell, which isn't that bad. I thought Sam Howell, for the terrible line he played with behind last year, he had an okay season.
Another North Carolina quarterback, Mitch Trubisky.
Ooh, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. For Jaden Daniels, people will make the comparisons to Lamar, although I still think he stepped down from that. Someone said Tyrod Taylor, and I was just thinking that feels a little bit more accurate. But I don't know if I want to draft Tyrod Taylor in the top three. But my thing is, you may have to, because after those two, the next step now is McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix.
And yes, give me that guy. Give me that guy. Let me pick at 15 and take Michael Penix.
Here's my problem with picking quarterbacks.
I love it.
If you're picking a quarterback and you're not willing to go in that top 6 to 7 range, can you just afford to wait? How many times is a quarterback drafted outside the top 10 do you feel like become something really good? I mean, recently we've got Deshaun and Lamar.
Is Jalen Hurts really good?
Okay. I mean, he was mad at me last year. My fantasy team suffered.
Brock Purdy, pretty good.
Okay. So you got four.
And there's a few. I can find some.
But how often? Let's just think about generally, though. You usually find your guy in the top 10. So if you're trying to, I don't know, if you're playing in the middle, it feels kind of risky to me. But I do like Penix over both of the other Nix and McCarthy.
All right, one other just general draft thing, because this is going to set up my NFL draft hot take. You need a receiver. You've got Marvin Harrison, Roman Dunze, Malik Nabers. Which one you taking?
Depends what team I am.
You have all picks. You are the first team that's going to pick a receiver. Why does it depend on which team you are?
Because if you already have a certain receiver that does a certain skill set, you may not want to double dip in that. Like, for some reason, I can't get it out of my head. Like, the Chargers at 5, I feel like they're going to take Nabers. If it was me, it's Marvin Harrison. I don't know why the process is necessarily overcomplicated. I know last year he didn't have the stats the other two did, but I don't know. I don't know what he can't do. So I feel like it's Marvin, but Malik Nabers is dangerously a close second, even though I love Rome. He's a baller.
This is completely personal bias. Roma Dunze is going to be the best pro out of all three of them. Okay. That's my hey, this is just a podcast. Nobody freaking pays any attention anyway, so I say whatever I want, right?
Okay. Please, someone. I don't ask for this much. Someone stamp this, come back to this time. Just to show Gabe or give him his props if it happens. You know what? I got one for you. Chiefs can trade up. They can trade up. It's going to cost them a lot, but they trade up and they get the guy of your choice. Like, so let's say those three receivers and Brock Bowers, because that's probably who it is. Which one of those four are you like, all right, the Chiefs traded something. Maybe that's a pretty big piece personnel-wise, or maybe it's a draft pick or a combination. What is it that you're trading? Which player?
If they're trading up, I want them to do it for an offensive tackle.
Okay, good question. Yeah.
If they are trading up, given the – like, they're not getting to a Dunze, Nabers, Harrison
no
territory. Like okay, so those guys are going to be gone in the top seven. If Brock Bowers gets to about 16,
I don't think
he'll get on the phone. Get on the phone.
I don't think
he'll be there. But
I think the other AFC contenders, like a Cincinnati, I don't know where they're picking, but I feel like they would trade up. Okay.
And nobody's going to trade with him. Like the only teams that'll trade with, like if they tried to call the Broncos or the Chargers or the Dolphins on draft, like the GMs have Brett Veach's number written down and they're not answering it. That's immediate decline. Like the only teams they can call are teams in the NFC.
And even then, it would have to be teams that don't think they have a shot at the championship. Right. Like I don't think. I know we said, you know, Detroit is picking like
29.
But let's say Detroit was picking up a little bit higher. I don't think a team like Detroit would necessarily want to make that trade if they think, well, we were only one game away from seeing you guys in the Super Bowl anyway. It could get a little hectic for them.
I never say I want my team to draft an offensive lineman, but I want my team to draft an offensive lineman in the first round.
I will say this. When your team drafts an offensive lineman, it just – no disrespect to the offensive lineman. Sometimes it just feels like – just like –
this is what life as a Chiefs fan used to be like. Oh, my God, they got the number one overall pick. Oh, my God, it's an offensive tackle from Central Michigan. So, no, you're headed over to Darius's house here in an hour or so, and you have stuff on Power Mizzou throughout the week. Sure, you'd be dropping a few nuggets here and there from the draft. So, enjoy it, man. Like I told you, I know you're really looking forward to covering the NFL draft. After you do it once, I don't think you'll look forward to doing it again.
Probably. But it's still stuff that people, you know, a lot of people don't get to do. So I didn't even think I'd get to do it.
It's an experience.
Oh, no, for sure. So I'm going to enjoy it and try to sneak my meals in when I can.
All right. Good deal, man. Appreciate you. We're going to let you get to work. We will catch up with you later in the week and keep an eye out. Gerard's going to have stuff from Detroit throughout the week. Again, a draft preview story on Thursday morning, and we'll do kind of running. We'll have a notebook and post on the boards and stuff when the Mizzou guys get picked. Recruiting stuff, you guys have asked a little bit during the show. I think we'll have some good news for you on the site here in the next 30, 45 minutes. Stay tuned. Jack Lang from Eureka Offensive Tackle, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, tweeted earlier today that he's announcing his decision at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Missouri's coaching staff was at his high school this morning. You draw whatever conclusions you want to draw from that. I put in a prediction for him to Missouri earlier today. So got those couple things going on recruiting-wise. And appreciate Gerard hanging out with us from Detroit. He's going to have a busy week. We'll be holding it down the fort back here sometime Friday, expecting a press conference with new Mizzou AD Laird Veach. So another busy week, guys. Always is. Thanks for hanging out. Make sure before you leave to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, do all those things. Get in touch with our friend James Carlton at State Farm Insurance in Webster Groves, Missouri. If you live in either Missouri or Illinois, James can take care of you. You can reach him at carltoninsurance.net. You can call his staff at 314-961-4800. Either of those ways, you can even go on Facebook and find him. Just Google James Carlton State Farm. You'll find a way to get in touch with him. He is going to take care of you and all of your insurance needs. Again, appreciate you guys hanging out. We'll talk to you next time, whenever that might be.